So last week, when we had the annual business meeting and it was let known that I had expressed a desire to be a candidate, I witnessed the doors open up and a big elephant come in and sit right there. If you ever heard the phrase, an elephant in the room. But, you know, it's amazing because 7 years ago when the Lord laid on my heart the burden to preach his word, you know, since that time I've been writing down things because I'll read his word and he kind of puts a fire in my heart. And I've been writing them down. And if anything, these past few months has been such a blessing to me to be able to share some of those things that the Lord has laid in my heart. I hope it's been a blessing for you. This message is one of them. Our title is The Ambassador's Alliance. This particular verse has stood out to me through the years. And being able to sit down, pray about it, and go over some of the things of what this means has been just a blessing to me. And so, Lord willing, we'll hear what he has to say in this. And that's enough about me. I better step aside and kind of let the Lord do the rest here. So why don't we bow in a word of prayer. Father God in heaven, I thank you so much that you have made us new people and that you have sent us into this world to represent you. And I pray, Father, that you would show us what that means and help us to accomplish your will. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So our message is broken down into three categories. The first category is what an ambassador is. Second category is what an ambassador does. And thirdly, we're going to look at what an ambassador has to offer. God has made us what is referred to as an ambassador in our text. But before we look at the biblical definition, I'd like to look at the general definition so we have a reference point. The Merriam-Webster defines an ambassador as an official envoy, especially a diplomatic agent of the highest rank accredited to a foreign government or sovereign as a resident representative of his or her own government or sovereign, or appointed for a special and often temporary diplomatic assignment. In other words, in governmental terminology, an ambassador is a representative of one government or national power sent to another government or national power, usually for diplomatic reasons. For example, President Donald Trump appointed John R. Bass II as an ambassador to Afghanistan in 2017. Michelle J. Cisson as an ambassador to Haiti in 2018, and Brian A. Nichols as an ambassador to Zimbabwe in 2017. These men and women were sent to these specific countries on behalf of and as representatives of the President and the United States of America to engage in diplomatic affairs and national relations. America has business in Zimbabwe. We have business in Afghanistan. And these ambassadors are the mediators between these two entities, serving on our behalf. But obviously, the Apostle Paul doesn't have America in mind when he calls us as ambassadors. So the question is, what does Paul mean? What does God mean when he speaks through Paul, calls us as ambassadors? How are we ambassadors, biblically speaking? First, what an ambassador is. We're going to look at that an ambassador is a new creation. Look in your text at verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Something happened when we were saved. Something miraculous. We didn't experience merely a change of perspective, though our perspective did indeed change. I used to view the world as a blip of insignificance. We didn't experience merely a change of philosophy, though the foundations of our philosophy certainly did change. I used to think that truth was relative and that it was up to us to define what that was, and it differed from person to person, that there was no absolute truth, except for the absolute truth that there was no absolute truth, however that works. We didn't even experience merely a change of purpose, though indeed our purposes did change. I used to think that my purpose in life was to gain as much pleasure as possible in this short life. When we were saved, We literally became, in our core and essence, something radically different than who we were beforehand. This wasn't just external things about us that changed, but an internal change. Our internal identity changed. Alex Ruggieri of June 14th, 2010 is a completely different, radically changed, totally new person than who he was on June 13th, 2010. The old Alex is dead. God threw him into the river by the dock down by my house in Scituate, Rhode Island. We were born again. We experience a new birth. And out of that concept comes these different branches of truths. One of which is that we have returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. That we were crucified with Christ. That we sit together in Christ in the heavenly places. When you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, trust on his finished work on the cross of Calvary, the Bible says, all things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. I love the word behold that Paul uses here. It's as if Paul is saying, voila! See and be amazed at the newness of life. Stand in awe. Look in admiration. Witness the glorious transformation. Behold, all things are made new. An ambassador for Christ is a new creation. Secondly, an ambassador is a channel of reconciliation. Look at verses 18 and 19 in our text. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Given us. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us, the word of reconciliation. We as Christians have received this glorious experience being reconciled with God, but there tends, however, to be a problem soon that follows that. The Christian halts, okay? We stop right there. We're glad and we're joyful for what God has done for us, the transformation he has wrought in our life. But sometimes we just stop. Our text shows us that not only are we the recipient of the reconciliation, but we are also the extender of the reconciliation. Not only do we receive it, but we give the reconciliation. We are channels of this, tools that God has chosen to transmit his ministry to the world. It doesn't stop at our reception. Our reception of salvation is to enable our sharing of salvation. We are channels. This means that this is the means that God has chosen to spread the good news of the gospel. His people, his ambassadors. Thirdly, an ambassador is a citizen of a different country. If you have a piece of paper or your finger handy, you can bookmark this and go over to Philippians chapter 3. It would be forward a couple of books. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 20 through 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. This is interesting. When we were born again, we didn't technically go anywhere, right? When I was on that dock, I gave my life to Christ, and I turned around and I went home. I didn't just zoop, just beam me up, Scotty. How is this possible that we can be a citizen of a different world if we've never even been there technically? Ephesians 2, 4 to 7 says, But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's past tense. Made us, raised us to sit together in the heavenly places. So God put you in Christ, mysteriously translated you to the heavenly places, and you are now a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. My brothers and sisters, this world is no longer our home. Our home, sweet home, is in heaven, and we are here on a temporary mission. We are here to do His will until He returns to take us home. That's what we look forward to. Have you ever traveled to a foreign country? Didn't you feel the whole time you were there that you were a foreigner? Didn't you feel somewhat out of place, even if you accomplished everything according to the plan you had to fulfill while you were there? How is it that when we travel to a foreign country or another place, we feel so out of place, yet when our actual, literal home is in heaven, we feel so at home on this earth? We should have in our minds the constant thought that my home is in heaven. I am here temporarily. Whether you're at work, home, school, whatever you're doing, your constant feeling should be that of a foreigner. I know I feel like a foreigner just since I moved from Rhode Island out here to Wisconsin. When I told my coworkers that I was from New England, they treated me like I was Tom Brady incarnate. I mean, I don't even watch football except maybe the Super Bowl. It's not my fault that since I moved, Aaron Rodgers has really been declining in his glory. I'm going to get lynched for that. When they say, go Packs, go, I say, go Pats, go, you know. We should feel like a foreigner in this world. An ambassador is a citizen of a different country. Fourthly, an ambassador is sent to a delegated area. Acts 1:8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." An ambassador has an assigned area that God has called them to. Where are you now? The area that you live in, how did you get here? Were you always here? Did you move here? Was your coming here in obedience to God? Did He want you to come here? Was your staying here in obedience to God? Did He want you to move somewhere else? Pray about those questions. Ask God about them. Ask for forgiveness if necessary. Praise Him for His provision if necessary. And after that, start over. Clean slate it. Regardless of your answers to these questions, starting today, this very moment, reckon yourselves as ambassadors to what I like to call your sphere of influence. Your sphere of influence. Whether many or few, whether big or small, whether abroad or local, you currently have in your life a sphere of locations, tasks, and relationships. Think of all the places you regularly visit. Think of your job, your home, your school, your church. Think of all the tasks you accomplish. Think of your work, your career, your chores, your assignments. Think of all the people you interact on a daily basis, your coworkers, your classmates, your family members, your brothers and sisters in Christ, your social media networks. All of these locations, tasks, and relationships are in your sphere of that which you can influence by being an ambassador. You can broaden the sphere and you can shrink the sphere, both of which ought to be under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you need to broaden the sphere because God wants you to reach out to more people. And sometimes God wants you to contract the sphere because God wants you to intensify your relationship with those who are closely related to you. It is up to you to find out exactly what size and intensity the sphere of influence is to be in your life. Now that we've looked at what an ambassador is, we can find out what an ambassador does. Secondly, an ambassador, our second main point is what an ambassador does. Firstly, an ambassador lives as a representative. 1 Peter 2, 11-17. "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God on the day of visitation." When we were sent to our designated sphere of influence, we are called to live in such a way so as to represent the kingdom of heaven. As an American ambassador represents America, so the heavenly ambassador represents the heavenly kingdom. An American ambassador is expected by the president to live in such a way so as not to dishonor the American name. So the heavenly ambassador is expected by Jesus Christ to live in such a way so as not to dishonor the name of God. Ephesians 2:8 says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for works, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You are called to accomplish the works that God has prepared for you in your sphere of influence. With a godly character, an uncompromising devotion, obedience, and submission to your King Jesus Christ. Michelle J. Cison wants to please Donald Trump by her conduct and behavior in the foreign nation. So the heavenly ambassador wants to please Jesus Christ by their conduct and behavior in the world. It makes no sense for a heavenly ambassador to come to this foreign earth on a mission and to live in an ungodly way. It makes no sense. It dishonors King Jesus. And God save us from such hypocrisy, duplicity, and compromise. We are to live by the grace, power, and love of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus Christ has given us. We need to live by that power, a life of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, thanksgiving, honor, nobility, integrity, everything. And in this way, we can adequately represent our King Jesus Christ and be effective ambassadors for the kingdom of heaven. We're to live as a representative, but we're also to give as a messenger. If you turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel 33... this is a very stunning passage, very stunning passage. Ezekiel 33, found in the Old Testament after the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah. Ezekiel 33, verses 7 to 9. The word of God says, "So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. I have made you an ambassador. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, 'O wicked man, you shall surely die,' and you do not speak to warn the wicked man from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul." We are called to bring this message to those in our sphere and influence. We must give it. We must declare it. What's the point of being here if we're not relaying the message of the gospel? This text is so weighty that if we don't bring the message of reconciliation to the lost, it's as if their condemnation is on our heads. And you may think that's unfair, but think of this. Some messenger gave you the message. Some messenger gave me the message. What would Donald Trump say to John R. Bates II if he found out that John was not delivering the terms of peace, the ultimatums of justice, the business propositions that John was expected to deliver to Afghanistan? What would he say? He'd probably say, "This is a disaster. You're fired." And rightly so. How much more does a heavenly ambassador deserve the chastisement, loving chastisement, of King Jesus if they don't deliver the terms of the gospel of peace, the ultimatums of the justice of hell, the business proposition of Jesus' life for yours? We are called to give as a messenger. We are also an ambassador pleads as a beggar. Back in our text in 2 Corinthians, we're going to look at verse 20. Verse 20, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are to plead as a beggar. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." This is amazing. We are to travel throughout our designated sphere of influence, live in obedience to a king, relay the message of reconciliation, and do it with such earnestness and a passion that we appear as humble beggars. Just let the word of God elaborate on this in verse 20. We implore you. We beg you. On Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Remember Ezekiel 33, that weighty message? Listen to the next couple of verses that follow. Therefore, O Son of Man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God. That's God speaking, not Ezekiel. As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? We're talking about the heart of God in the matter. Listen now. This defies contemporary diplomatic social expectations. American ambassadors don't plead with their assigned entities. They maintain strict, proper expectations. Ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven are pleaders. Poor, wretched beggars. This is the heart of God. This is the motive of our King, Jesus Christ. We are to carry this heart and carry this burden and carry this demeanor and plead with sinners and beg the lost, implore the unbelieving world, come, come to Jesus. Repent, believe, turn, turn. Why would you die? In the words of Peter, we say, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. In the words of Paul, we say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the first recorded words of the Lord in the book of Mark, he says, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. And this, my brothers and sisters, is how the kingdom of God grows. And this, my brothers and sisters, is how faith fellowship will grow. And this, my brothers and sisters, is what God plans for us to do here. May God so help us. But what exactly are the terms? What is the message? Our third main point, what an ambassador has to offer. Firstly, an ambassador is offering the ultimatum of judgment. In the book of Acts, chapter 17, we don't have to turn there. I'll just say that Paul was transferred alone to Athens and was to wait for the rest of the brethren. What did he do? Rather than sitting back and relaxing, going to the latest show at the theater, we find him doing street evangelism. He goes to the synagogues to reach the Jews, and then goes to the marketplace to reach the Gentiles. He stirs up a crowd, most likely by street preaching, and they take him to the ancient debate hall to hear his case. He presents the one true God and follows that purpose of God to have all mankind seek after him, or otherwise await the judgment that is soon to follow. He says that he has appointed the man, Jesus Christ, to judge the world when he returns. Sometimes Jesus brought words of comfort to the humble. Sometimes he brought words of condemnation to the proud. For the Lord opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let me give an example. In World War II, towards the end, Japan was given an ultimatum. Surrender or suffer. Refusing to surrender, they became subject to the ingenuity of American engineering and suffered the devastation that came from two atomic bombs. So in the Word of God, the Lord gives an ultimatum, surrender or suffer. Refusing to surrender, the unbeliever will become subject to the wrath and fury of a holy God and suffer the damnation that comes from an eternal lake of fire. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And I am not ashamed to preach this. The Scripture says that this is a kind of ultimatum when you present it to the sinners and the lost. When you present this kind of an ultimatum, it awakens the conscience. The Bible says that the law is a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. That the Holy Spirit will convict the world in righteousness. Not only does he give the ultimatum, but the ambassador also gives the terms of peace. And this is the problem, because you go on YouTube and you can find a lot of Christians on the streets only giving the ultimatum of judgment. And they almost seem to delight in it. They have their signs say, turn or burn. And that's not what the ambassador is to do. They're to give the ultimatum of judgment, but they're to give the terms of peace. For God, in his ultimatum, is a merciful, loving, compassionate, and gracious God, so as to offer his enemies the opportunity to escape the coming judgment. The scripture says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Our text says that God was in Christ not reckoning or not imputing their trespasses to them. God is offering a term of peace. He says, I am offering to cancel the written code that is against you, to grant you a clean slate, to reconcile your rebellious nation to myself. How? An ambassador is offering a business transaction. Look at verse 21 here. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Our text gives us the business proposal for the unbelieving world. Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross of Calvary, died in place for the unbelieving world, and did the work for them that those who put their faith, hope, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ lose their lives in place of his. Jesus' life for yours. If there is anyone here today who is a foreigner to the kingdom of God, you've heard the ultimatum, you've heard the terms of peace, the heart of God. Jesus Christ gave his life for you. If you accept this, you will end up giving your life for his. It will be a business transaction. His Holy Spirit will come inside of you, and you will be put on the cross that he was crucified on. For the scripture says that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Accept his offer, receive his salvation. The scripture says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. In closing, what is an ambassador? An ambassador is one who is a new creation in Christ, a channel of God's ministry of reconciliation, a citizen of a heavenly country, and one who is sent to a delegated area. What does an ambassador do? An ambassador lives as a representative of King Jesus, gives as a messenger of King Jesus, and pleads as a beggar on King Jesus' behalf. And finally, what does an ambassador have to offer? An ambassador offers the ultimatum of justice, of judgment, the terms of peace of the gospel, and the business transaction of Christ's life for sinners. Our text says, we are ambassadors. That means you. That means I am an ambassador. We're in this together. Even though we have our delegated areas, we are together. Let us move forward in these principles. Accept this identity and become known to Dodgeville, Ridgeway, Mineral Point, Spring Green, Barneveld, Edmond, Livingston, wherever you are, wherever your sphere of influence is. Let us be known as the Ambassadors Alliance. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, O God, I am so thankful that we are new creations. The one who is used to live and walk this earth is done away with. Praise God for everyone here who is saved, that though the people who used to walk this earth are done away with, praise God. And I ask, Father in heaven, for anyone who is here who is not your citizen, that they would accept the terms of peace, they would accept the offer, that they would accept what you have to give them, the gospel, that you gave your life for them, that they lose their life for yours. Father in heaven, please plant this identity in our hearts as we go out into the world and live as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.